Scripture reading this morning will be coming from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. Have you not known, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives the power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he can increase his strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You may be seated.
Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27 said, "The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Isn't it amazing today to contemplate the majesty and power of our great God? It's wonderful to know today that our great God is eternal. The Bible says in Psalms 90 and verse 2, "Even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Psalms 46 and verse 1 tells us that God is our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in time of trouble. You know, we have the assurance today that we can go to God with all of our troubles and burdens, sorrows and heartaches, and we can find in God refuge and help from all the changes and difficulties and uncertainties of this life. And because God is eternal and because God is our refuge, Moses could say truthfully that underneath are the everlasting arms. You know, we sung that very beautiful song just a minute ago. What a fellowship! What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness! What a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. How wonderful it is today to know that we, the children of God, can lean upon the everlasting arms, knowing that God is going to shelter us. God is going to protect us from every harm. I want to encourage us today and challenge your thinking as we contemplate the everlasting arms of our great God. I hope we'll leave here today more appreciative and more grateful and thankful for what our God is able to do for us in so many ways. May I suggest, first of all, today that the everlasting arms of God are arms of salvation. You know, truly the greatest need that man has today is the need for salvation. Sadly, in our world today, there are many people that don't even know that they're lost. And our job as Christians is to let people know that they are lost and to give them the plan by which they can be saved. The greatest question that can ever be asked is just seven words. What must I do to be saved? You know, Isaiah 59 and verse 16 says, "Mine own arm brought salvation." You see, it's the everlasting arms of God which provide salvation to mankind. God's arms are able to reach down from heaven to earth, and He is able to bring salvation to every person that will receive it. To change the figure somewhat, the blood-pierced hand of Jesus Christ is able to reach down from heaven to earth and redeem all who will take hold of that hand in simple, trusting faith. You know, we today are saved by the marvelous grace of God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And God's marvelous grace has been manifested through the atoning death of Jesus Christ. On the cross, Jesus shed His blood, and He became our sin offering, our sin bearer, our substitute. And because of this marvelous act of sacrifice, God can and He will extend mercy and pardon to guilty sinners. If we will but put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we believe with all of our hearts that He is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, if we will trust Him completely for our salvation, if we will sincerely repent and renounce all sin in our lives, if we will then obey our Lord's command to be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of sins, we can be saved. Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved," Mark 16 and verse 16. And whenever we submit and obey these primary conditions of the gospel, the everlasting arms of God will reach down and save us. We place our sinful hands into the holy hands of God, and He will take hold of us, and He will lead us through life. You see, the everlasting arms of God can bring salvation. And today, if you find yourself as one who is lost, if you find yourself in the situation today where you recognize that you are without any hope beyond this life, we beg you to turn to God in simple, trusting faith and obey the gospel. And if you do that, God, for Christ's sake, will forgive you and will receive you. But you know, God's everlasting arms are also arms of strength. And certainly when we think about our difficulties in life and all the things that we have to deal with on a daily basis, the burdens that we have to bear, we need strength if we're going to make it each and every day. And after saving us, God gives us the strength to live the Christian life. Being omnipotent, we know that God is all-powerful. We know that He is strong. We're weak. We're helpless. We're powerless. Our arms are weak, but His arms are everlastingly strong. We can therefore say in the words of the psalmist in Psalms 27 and verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Psalms 46, 1 and 2. You know, leaning upon the everlasting arms of God, we can say in those marvelous words of Isaiah that we heard just a few minutes ago, Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 28, "Have you not known, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is He weary. There's no searching of His understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them who have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Now, in and of ourselves, we're weak, trying to handle all the things that come our way by ourselves is something we simply cannot do. We're unable to handle the burdens and problems and difficulties of life on our own. but leaning on the everlasting arms of God, we're strong. And God is able to do for us, with us, and through us even more than we can ask or think, Ephesians 3 and verse 20. And we may be assured today that God in His providence is able to lead us into the paths of righteousness. God is able to lead us into those experiences that are most helpful for us. And thus, I believe we can all say with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I believed in, and I am persuaded that He is able to do that which I've committed unto Him against that day. You see, God is our all-sufficient source of strength, and we are able to overcome every trial. Because of the strength we draw from God, we can resist every temptation. We can conquer those besetting sins. Because of the strength we draw from God, we can overcome every weakness, and we can do all that God wants us to do. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4. In verse 13. But then I want to suggest to you today that the everlasting arms of God are not only arms of salvation and arms of strength, the everlasting arms of God are also arms of love. The Bible says God is love, and that is the greatest description of the Heavenly Father that we find in all the Bible. God epitomizes every characteristic of love. God is love. God, through the prophet Jeremiah, would say in Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And the love that God has for us today is amazing to think about. Because you see, we don't deserve God's love. We don't deserve the goodness and the wonderful blessings that God has given us. God loved us when we sinned, and God immediately set in motion the unfolding of His eternal purpose to bring us to salvation. And the climax of that divine love was when God sent Jesus into this world to be our Savior. And that love reached its highest expression. It reached its greatest fulfillment in Calvary, when our Lord Jesus Christ voluntarily went to the cross to die the just for the unjust, that He might atone for our sins, that He might make it possible for God to extend to us His grace and mercy. And we may be assured, therefore, that God will always love us. Now, God hates our sins, but God always loves us in spite of our sins. And if your faith and trust are in God, then we can say in the words of Paul in Romans 8 and verse 38, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And because of the great love that God has bestowed upon us, how we ought to love and honor and serve our God. We love Him because He first loved us. And if we will just take the time to contemplate and meditate upon God's divine love, and if we will just remind ourselves that constantly that His are everlasting arms of love, then we're going to come to love our Father more. To love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind is the greatest duty that we have since it's the most important of all of God's commands. And if we truly love the Lord, we will reverence Him. We will respect and believe and obey Him. We will seek in every detail of our lives to conform to His will. God loves all of us. And we need to rest in the arms of God's love, knowing how much He cares for us and observing what He's done to make sure that salvation can be ours. God's love has been manifested on every hand. But then let me suggest in the next place that the everlasting arms of God are also arms of security. They're arms of safety. You know, we long to be secure in our world today, right? There's a lot of uncertainties that we see. We see it on the news because of social media today. We hear a lot about human trafficking. We know the story that has unfolded about Anaya Blanchard in Auburn, who was taken against her will. You know, we have security systems in all of our homes. We strongly, for the most part, here around Alabama, advocate the Second Amendment, where we want to have our right to bear arms, and people want to do that for safety concerns. We even have a Department of Homeland Security. You know, we are security driven. We want security. We long for security. We want to be safe in our own homes, don't we? And yet, as the arms of a mother represent security to that helpless infant, so the everlasting arms of God represent security to us. You see, the worst case scenario for a faithful Christian is that you get to go to heaven. That's the worst case scenario. And if that's not ultimate security, I really don't know what is. God is our refuge. He is our source of security and safety, because no matter where we are, His everlasting arms are beneath us to hold us up and to sustain us. Isaiah the prophet said in Isaiah 33 and verse 2, O Lord, be gracious unto us. We've waited for You. Be Thou their arm every morning, our salvation also in time of trouble. And if we look to God and if we lean heavily on His everlasting arms, we're going to find that safety and that security that's so vitally necessary to bring peace and happiness in this life. You see, no matter what comes our way, whether it be physical illness, maybe it's a terminal illness, maybe it's serious financial problems, no matter what it may be that comes our way, we as Christians still can find peace and security even in the most difficult of situations. We are then able to realize that as Christians today, that we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, 1 Peter 1 and verse 5. Are you insecure today? Do you know the peace and happiness that comes from being right with God? If you are insecure, then I encourage you to flee for refuge to the everlasting arms of God, because there you'll find security, you'll find safety, you'll find hope. But then I want to mention today about the everlasting arms of God, that those everlasting arms are also arms of guidance. You know, as a father takes his son by the hand and leads that son through the darkness of the night, so the everlasting arms of God lead us through the darkness of this world. And thus we can truthfully say in the words of David in Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me." And if we commit our lives to God, He will always lead us where we need to go. He may lead us beside the still waters or the green pastures. At other times, He may lead us through the valleys of darkness where shadows and dangers lurk. But we can always be assured that our good shepherd will lead us in the paths of righteousness. He will never lead us into the paths of unrighteousness. And wherever our God leads, that's where we ought to go. And what a blessing to think about the words of that beautiful hymn, "He leadeth me, O blessed thought. O words with heavenly comfort fraught, whate'er I do, where'er I be, it's still God's hand that leadeth me." God's everlasting arms are arms of guidance. But I want to close today by suggesting to you that the everlasting arms of God are arms of rest. In Psalms 37 and verse 7, we are admonished to rest in the Lord. Solomon said in 1 Kings 8 and verse 56, "Blessed be the Lord that has given rest unto His people." The psalmist said long ago in Psalms 116 and verse 7, "Return unto your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." Or you consider Psalms 132 and verse 14, "This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it." And amid all the trials and tragedies and heartaches, the changes, the difficulties of life, it's wonderful to know that we can go to the everlasting arms of God, and there ultimately we can find peace and rest from all of our labors. In God we find peace and comfort and strength. We can find assurance and hope and rest. And we have the blessed assurance that if we are faithful to God in this life, that ultimately we will enter into that eternal rest with Him in heaven. And I hope all of us are looking forward to that ultimate eternal rest in heaven, when redeemed by the grace of God, we shall forever be with the Lord. You know, what would our lives look like today if we were fully in awe of what God has done for us through His Son? If we could just really contemplate everything that God has done for us and is willing to do for us, think of the blessings that would come from that. The security that we would enjoy. The peace the world is longing for and would give millions for is ours to possess because of what God has done for us through Christ Jesus. And so this morning we point you to God, who through Jesus Christ will redeem, and to His everlasting arms that will save. I encourage you today, if you're not a Christian, to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. I admonish you to confess Him as the Son of God. Rely upon His merit and righteousness. Repent. Be baptized for the remission of sins. And in doing this, you'll be saved, and you'll find the everlasting arms of God to be your source of refuge and guidance and hope in all circumstances. And if faithful as a Christian, His everlasting arms will reach out and will ultimately receive you unto that heavenly rest that God has promised to all of His people. Today, are you trusting in the everlasting arms of God? Are you trusting in yourself? Are you really not living according to what God would have you to do? Have you made decisions not considering the will of God? Are you acting and conducting yourself in a way that God would be you your support and that God would be there for you in those difficult times? Maybe today you need to come and ask for the prayers of the church and be forgiven of sin. This morning, if you have any need at all, we ask that you respond at this time while we stand and sing.